I want us all now just to quieten ourselves down and let's just hear the message that the Lord would want to bring us this morning and to say to us. And it's amazing. I just want to just tie a few things together. The words that have already come from the frontier and what God is, I believe, saying to us. So some of the things we've heard is that Quentin was saying he saw a picture of us here coming with vessels, certain vessels, some dirty, some are full, some have got things in it. But God requires us to prepare those vessels, to get them ready so that they can receive what God wants us to put into it. And one of the words that came out, it says, it is I who am drawing you so that I can cleanse you. Now, these are all key words that I just want you to hear because I believe God is speaking very clearly to us this morning. He's saying, it is I who am drawing you to me so that I can cleanse you. He does the drawing. One of the other words that came was, we seem to do the same things over and over. We tend to do the same things, but change needs to take place. That's one of the keys of my message this morning, is we can't do things the same way all the time. God requires change in our lives to get to where we're going. And we need to apply what we see and what God is showing us. Another thing that came out this morning was set your agenda aside. We need to set our things aside and our agendas aside so that we can come into God's presence. All right, so those are the messages that have just been coming out this morning before even the message has been shared. And my message this morning is the pathway to God's presence. The pathway to God's presence. And I just want to draw a quick picture for you. If I'm over here, and this is where I am, and God is over there, and He's requiring me to get there, there's a journey. There's a journey that I've got to take from getting here to over there. But on the journey, I've got certain things that I've collected through my time of growing up, going to school, work, that the world has given me. And I've got certain things. I've got maybe baggage. I've got things that I've collected over the time. It's like when you go going camping, there's only a certain amount of things you can take. The vehicle is only so big. You can ask Thora. I try and fit everything in, and she gets me to take most things out because where we're going doesn't require all those things that I want to take. And we tend to do that with life. We want to tend to get into God's presence, but with everything that we have. Everything that we've received, things that the world's giving us and that, and we've got all these things, but what God says is there's certain things in order to get into my presence that you need to take off. In other words, you might have this big bag on you and there's this narrow little door that God says you've got to go through this door. It's a very narrow door, but you can't get through because you've got this thing on you. And what God is saying is that thing is hindering you from coming into my presence. So you need to remove that thing. It doesn't come with you on your journey. I'll give you other things on the way. So you've got to remove that thing to maybe get through this door. Then maybe you've got to go across. You know that life can be hard. And sometimes we've got to balance on certain things. And it's very dodgy. And if we've got all these things, all this baggage, all these things from life on us, we can't get across the path. So what we do is we tend to settle. And we say, okay, Lord, I've settled here. Oh, what I've got cannot. What I have, it's too much for me. I've got too much. I can't get across there because I'm carrying too much. And what the message is today is there's some things that we need to learn. What God is saying is we need to strip off ourselves. We need to get rid of so that we can get through these, so we can go through these things where God has taken us. And God gives us certain gifts that enables us to get to where He is and get into His presence. Okay. So today's message is going to show us a little bit of what it takes to get from where we are and into the presence of God, and things that we might have to let go of, which is hindering us from going into where God wants us. So I want to open with Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, Hebrews 1 is all about Jesus' superiority. Hebrews 1 tells us that the message in the old days was given to us by the prophets, to the Hebrews through the prophets, and sometimes it was delivered by angels, came to the prophets and delivered the message. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus is far superior to any prophet or to any angel. Jesus is God. So Hebrews 1 tells us who Jesus is and His superiority. Okay, this is an amazing book. This is the Word. God gave us this Word. But it says in John 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. So God gave us this Word. Then he gave us Jesus, this Word in the flesh, for us to see what it looks like and what it feels like. Okay? And then he gave us the Holy Spirit who reveals this Word in the flesh and this Word to us. So this Word is very important. That's one of the keys, is the thing you need to take with us on this trip is the Word and the Holy Spirit, and follow as Jesus went. There's a lot of other things we tend to take that we don't need that are just hindrances. So Hebrews 2 says, we must pay, and I'm reading from the NIV, because most people have got the NIV, but there's other versions which I might just touch on because they bring it out so much better. But it says, we must pay the most careful attention. In some of the versions, it says, more earnest heed. Therefore, to what we have heard. Okay, so we're on a journey. God is telling us how to get into his presence. Therefore, we need to pay careful attention to what we hear so that we do not drift away. Drifting is like a boat sometimes that doesn't have an anchor. It sits there and you sit in the boat and you're looking and you're fishing and you're doing whatever you're doing in the boat. Before you look up, you're in a completely different place. You don't even know you are drifting at times. So sometimes we are walking with Jesus and we are walking, and if we don't know what we are doing and we don't pay careful attention, we can drift, and before we know it, we are not where we want to be and we are not where Jesus wants us to be. So the Word warns us to pay careful attention lest we drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. Okay? We know in the time of the Hebrews, when they were disobedient, God brought nations to carry them away. So they were held accountable. It goes on to say, well then, how shall we, me and you, escape if we ignore? Okay, any of you says ignore? Some of the other versions say neglect, which is far more powerful. That's neglect, because ignore means we didn't have it. Neglect means we've had it. We're just neglecting it. So he's speaking to believers here. So he's saying, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You and I have received an amazing salvation. We are not to neglect it. We are not to drift away. We are to pursue it and pay careful attention to it. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, Jesus himself, the one who's more superior to angels and to prophets, the Lord himself declared this message to us. And it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. This has been given us to those that saw him, touched him, ate with him. This word has been declared to us. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So God took it so seriously that he even gave us signs and wonders and miracles. So we've received a great salvation. We need to continue to look to God and continue to remind ourselves the promises of God and what we heard and believed, and hold fast to these things lest we drift away. We cannot just carry on. We need to be paying very close attention to this, and we need to be pursuing this that God has given us, this journey that we're on. We can become very complacent. As people, our nature, our flesh, we become complacent. I've got just two quick examples. One, and I don't want to bring any school into disrespect, but one of the schools had a very vital, shocking, sad incident that happened recently when they went on the orientation camp. They took a whole lot of pupils with them, and as we know, one of those pupils drowned. I don't know if you've all heard of it. Now, if you read and you go through those things, and if you've been following the story a little bit, we see a lot of neglect. And we can say, wow, you know, this school, there was so much neglect. They had no roll call. The teacher apparently left the roll call list on the bus, so the bus left. They had all these pupils, and they never took roll call. They weren't sure who was here, who wasn't there. There were no teachers on duty at the time of the drowning. There were no life jackets handed out. There were other drownings that happened on this place. The boys came and reported what had happened. No one believed them. There was no immediate action. when they was informed it only happened the next day, there's all these negligence that happened. And yet we point fingers, yet in our own lives with God, we can be negligent. We can neglect what God has given us and we can take it for granted. We can become casual about our walk with God. And it can be dangerous. I remember when I was doing my apprenticeship, we were working on this high tower. It must have been about 10 stories high. And we were busy working on it and chopping it. And it was my first time working so high. In the first day when I was walking on the scaffold, I was walking like this. And we had safety belts on. And I'd take the safety belt and then I'd walk here and I'd undo it. And I would put it on here and I would walk so carefully like this. After 2 weeks, I wasn't even using my safety belt. People had to remind me, Craig, put your safety belt. See, we become so used to it, so casual, that we start to neglect our first love. We neglect our walk with God. We neglect what God has given us, and we become very casual. So let's look at the parable of the sower as well in Matthew 13. I'm going to read Matthew 13 quickly from 1 to 23. It's very good because it gives us a clear picture of some of the neglect. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Matthew 13, verse 1 to 23. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the pathway to the presence of God, along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100-fold, 60 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. What he's saying is, don't just hear. If you've got ears, you will apply it. You'll be diligent about it. You'll do something about it. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. You are seated here because you've got ears to hear. God has brought you into this place because he wants to reveal the truth to you, because he loves you, and he wants you to outwork to get to the place of his presence. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. These are critical words. If we aren't diligent with what we have, it will be taken away from us. We will lose it. We need to do with what we have and be diligent with what we have. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. God doesn't waste on people who are not going to do anything with their word. Sometimes you say, Lord, why am I not hearing you? Maybe you need to ask, because if he tells me, am I actually going to do something about it? If God knows you're not going to do nothing about it, he's not going to tell you. He'll wait until your heart's ready, prepared, and you say, Lord, I desire everything. I repent, I turn, I'll do whatever you tell me. God speaks. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. Lord, may we never be that people. May we be the people that hear and do your word, apply it, and be fruitful. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with the ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what they see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. There's many people dying to hear things out there in this world. And we heard about the keys of heaven. Somebody was speaking about the keys of heaven. Arthur reminded us, we have got the keys of heaven. We have got ears to hear. We need to be taking that life out into this world. They don't see, and we need to open their eyes. If we're not doing it, who's going to do it? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. So this is the parable now being explained. Okay? Anyone who hears the kingdom and does not understand it, we need to come to Bible school. We need to come hear the message. We need to come here. We need to ask. We need to phone people who are mature. We need to ask him what the word is. We need to be studying the word, because if you don't understand it, if you just hear it, it's going to be stolen from you very quickly. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Yes, I've received the word. I love it. It's great. But since it has no root, they don't get involved. They don't go to fellowship. They don't get involved with people who can grow them, mature them, disciple them. They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. He hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. The one who puts it into action. The one who looks into his heart and tends to that garden. The one who pulls out the weeds. The one who's tilling his heart, making sure it's right, it's prepared, it can receive the word. We all have a burning desire to come into and remain in God's presence, but the journey is unnatural to us. We are familiar with and understand the world's ways and its ways which are not his ways. We are very familiar with the world. The world is very easy to us. We were brought up in this world. Our flesh longs and lusts after the world. The world is natural to us. The ways of God are very unnatural. We need to learn the ways of God. But we need to let go of the things of the world. So this is one of the keys. We need to let go the things of the world to enter into the presence of God and on this journey. It also came up, how do we do this? We need to embrace kingdom ways through faith. God said it, therefore I do it. Okay, the good news is 1 John 4 verse 4 says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. So the world may be natural to us, but we've been given a helper that can help us overcome the things of the world. And what is a lot of the overcoming of the world? I tell you what it is, it's letting go of this baggage. It's letting go of these things that we want to hold of in this world. The self, I want, what I need, what I'll do, the way I think. We need to learn to let go of those things so we can walk on this path into the presence of God. I've been reading a book by A.W. Tozer, an incredible man, and he encourages us that we need to be active, persistent, and deliberate in our pursuit of God. Does that describe you? I'll say it again. We need to be active, persistent, and deliberate in our pursuit after God. We cannot be lazy, idle, addicted to entertainment, and the coarse pleasures of the flesh. It's quiet in you. The pathway to the presence of God. It says, but the value and importance of coming into God's presence, this is still A.W. Tozer, it says, but the value and importance of coming into God's presence is worth overcoming every obstacle along the way. It is worth getting rid of all those things because you'll come to the final journey. Thor and I have done many hard walks and we say, why are we on this walk? Why are we enduring this? Why are we suffering like this? Until you get to the end, until you get to a certain scenic part, until you go on the way and you see how worth it is. It is very worth it. It says, it's worth overcoming every obstacle along the way. They are of such a nature, these obstacles, as to keep out all but those who have an impassionate desire for the presence of God. If you don't have an intense, burning passion for the presence of God, hindrances are going to befall you. They're going to overtake you. You need a desire, a burning desire for the presence of God, continually seeking after Him. A desire stronger than the draw of anything else in life. Is there something else drawing you more than the presence of God? You need to go and you need to take it. You need to overcome it. So what are some of these hindrances on the path to God's presence? I'm going to touch on 8 of them. eight hindrances. There's a lot more, but these are quite big ones, which you might identify with. I promise you, I identify with them. I haven't overcome these. I'm working at these, and they're challenging me. So what are some of the hindrances? One, a word called syncretism. What is syncretism? It's combining different beliefs, cultures, traditions, thoughts, or practices, even other religions, into God's teachings and commands. In other words, God's commands are very clear. They say, this is the way to me. There's no other way. This is it. But what we do is we tend to say, but I also like a bit of this, and sure, this religion is quite good, so I'll take a bit of this on the way. And you know what? Sure, our families have always celebrated this. Yes, there's drinking, there's party, there's that, but it's not too bad, Lord. You understand it, so I'll take this in on the way. And God does not desire that. He's a jealous God. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of purity. We cannot mix our thoughts, our cultures, and our other religions or beliefs or books that we've read and bring it into this. If it's not in here, you've got to get rid of it. It's one of those baggages that you need to take off. Some examples. There's lots I could use. Halloween, for example. Show me where that's in the Bible. There's many other things. Look at something and say, is it in the Bible? Did Jesus practice it? Did the Jews practice it? Was it part of their culture? Are we supposed to be practicing it? That's just one example. Maybe you got crystals that you use for energy. Show me where Jesus told us he has some crystals, he has a web or a dream catcher or whatever. I'm just using examples. Those things are not in the Bible. That's syncretism. What we do is we say, oh, it's okay, it's quite pretty. We've always done it. It's nice. I'll bring it into my religion. God says, no, you do not do those things. You destroy those things if you want to come into my presence on my pathway. It's a narrow pathway. Broad is the pathway that leads to destruction. Narrow is the pathway that leads to God's presence. Good luck charms. Books. Be careful what books you read. This is almost a continuation of Arthur's sermon where he said, you know, in the news, don't just watch Al Jazeera. Watch a few of them. It's the same thing. Don't just read one book. Don't just follow one man. You know, I can look at John MacArthur, great teacher. But I can't just study him because there's things even in his teachings which I can see. I'm not sure if that's right. We got to look at it. Look at a few people's teachings, read them, and then take it back to this. Is it in here? Then it's truth. Is it not in here? Do I not find it? Does it not confine to this? Let it go. The things that are good, I can carry on with. So be careful of things you've brought into God's ways. God's got a certain way. It's very clear. Strip these other things away from your life. I do it unto God. God understands. You know, I come to God. I do it, but he understands. No, we come to God on God's terms. God doesn't come to us on our terms. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So what do? We only teach everything that Jesus commanded us. We don't bring other things into it. Fancy books. Homosexuality is okay. No, it's not. The word says that they will not enter the kingdom of God. We need to stick to the word of God. Okay, get rid of anything else that's not of the word. Two, man has no spiritual responsibility. You have got a spiritual responsibility, and I've got a spiritual responsibility. A lot of people say, I've got no spiritual responsibility. Jesus has done it all. He died for the cross. You know, I'm saved by faith. I believe in him. Phew, that's it. I'll carry on. Okay. Sin is still ripe. It still separates us from God. God washes over it, but every time we sin, we repent. We turn to him. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. We have got a spiritual responsibility to God. We need to be coming to church. We need to be fellowshipping. We need to be pursuing the word. We need to be applying it. We have got a spiritual responsibility. There's a move out there that says, Jesus has done it all. We're saved by grace, and that is it. We carry on. Okay, we have got a spiritual responsibility. Three, the message needs to be palatable. A lot of people are running to churches where the message is palatable. It's easy to hear. It's easy to receive, speaks to me, draws the people, it makes them feel easy. I tell you what, Jesus' words were uncomfortable. They challenged people. They challenged them to change. He challenged them to conform to God's ways. The word is not always palatable. It shouldn't be, but it's good for you. Some things that we eat, most things that we eat, the things that are good for us are not palatable. The other things make us fat and lazy. We need to give serious attention to the word of God and what he is saying. And how do we align ourselves up to it? And we need to make the changes that it shows us to make to enter into the presence of God. Okay, don't make the word palatable. What we can do is we can hear a harsh word and we can say, oh, I was challenged by it, and we can go home and dress it up a bit. Okay, we don't dress God's word up. We apply it as he said it. We tend to want to hear only the things we are already achieving. Oh, we sit under the word, yeah, that's a good word. I'm already achieving that. I am doing that. I'm going that. So we hear harsh words that we need to actually apply it. And we need to love it because it brings us into the presence of God. It's worth it. We also tend to not take the word too seriously. We say, ach, it's a suggestion. Yeah, it was a good word. I hear what he's saying, but I'll think about it. So we make light of the word. Let's not make light of this word. It's serious. There's only one way to this pathway, to the presence of God. There's a lot of things we need to let go of. There's a lot of things God gives us, but it's his way. We tend to make light of the word, or we prefer to remain ignorant. This is a teaching on righteousness and holiness. Oh, I'd rather not go there because they're going to tell me to do things that I don't want to do. Well, if it's in God's word, we need to go there and we need to do it and we need to apply it and we need to hear those words. Cauterization, number four, cauterization of the conscience. Cauterization of the conscience. Our consciences are being cauterized by TV, by movies, by social media, by the things we are watching. There's so much violence and harshness going out. There's so much foul language and fornication and immoral sexual things that are happening. We're becoming numb to it. We actually think it's okay. And we're starting to move the goalposts. We're starting to watch movies which we wouldn't have watched before, but because everyone else is doing it, because our consciences are becoming cauterized, we're saying, maybe it's not too bad. I'm okay, yeah. What cauterization does is it actually hurts at first, but once it heals, it becomes numb. So the first time we sin in that area, it hurts. Oof, sorry, Lord, it hurts. I shouldn't have done that. But the more we tend to do it, the more numb we become to that thing. Eventually, we have no feeling towards it. I can tell you, I'm seeing a pattern where we've got more feeling towards animals than we do to humans. And I'm not saying we should be cruel to animals because we shouldn't do that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we watch things for animals and we're more moved because we're so used to seeing people beaten, hurt, blood, heads cut off on all these movies and these things that we're watching that actually we're becoming quite insensitive to human torture and hardships. Our consciences are becoming cauterized to these things. We must stop watching these things. We must start being saying, what is this, Lord? What are you doing? How do I become holy? How do I become righteous? How do I start having compassion and hurting for people again? The guy at the street, he's always bothering me. This guy's doing that. Yeah, he's hungry. Yeah, it's because he didn't work. Yeah, it's because he deserves. We're becoming so hard to the things that God wants us to be discerning to. Be careful what we watch, what we do. Violence is becoming such a common thing. You know, a taxi goes through a red robot. He goes through, stop at the robot. Wait there. Wait till it changes. You can think, oh, what? Because why? It's teaching you to not to become like that, not to become callous, not to become hard against that, and not to become like the world. So be careful of your conscience being cauterized. Spiritual, number five, spiritual lethargy. Spiritual lethargy. Tiredness, weariness, fatigue, lack of energy, or enthusiasm for spiritual things. I tell you, there's a time where this is happening. There's this going, I run to it. Jesus is going to be there. I'm going to that. There's a men's camp there. I'm going there, boy. The word's going to be preached there. I'm going there. Where's Jesus? Where's the word preached? I'm going. Now it's, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too lazy. But there's a meeting happening there. Ugh, I'm just, you know, I've become lethargic spiritually. But physically, you know, I'm sure I'm going to gym and I'm doing this, I'm running around. It's a lack of spiritual stamina. Spiritual stamina doesn't just happen, we build it up. Just like we build up running to run a race. We run a little bit, then we run a little bit more, then we run a little bit more, then we run a little bit more, and before we know it, we can run marathons. It's the same with spiritual things. We go to one, we go to two, we come to a prayer meeting, we continue to come, and before you know it, I mean, on Wednesday, the guys that were at prayer meeting, we couldn't stop praying. We just went on. It could have gone on and on and on. These guys have got stamina for praying. They can just pray and pray and pray. Eventually, you just say, whew, okay, guys, it's time to go home. They've got stamina. You've got to build up spiritual stamina. 6, giving God your leftovers. I come first. I need to make a living. I need to rest. I'm too busy. This life is hard. Lord, you have my leftovers. Because I need the best for myself, for my family, for my home, for my business. Matthew 13, 22 says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. We need to make a living, but we also need to give the same intention of attention to our Lord. The same intention of attention to the Lord. We've got to make a living, we've got to go to work, we've got to make our houses nice. We've got to do all these things, but we've got to do it for the Lord as well. We give him the leftovers. Those things come first, and the Lord comes second. It's out of balance. One of the hindrances to the pathway into the presence of God. So God gets the leftovers, never the main meal. You know, we need to give God the main meal sometimes, and we can have the leftovers. We give to God the things we don't need instead of giving him the things we need. God says, give to me the best, the first, the best of everything. Yet we say, no, that's for me, Lord. Here's a little bit for you. Okay? It's one of those baggages that will stop us getting through that entrance into the presence of God. You do not need to neglect the others. You just need to do both equally well. 7, constantly seeking after pleasure. Constantly seeking after pleasure. Things that make you happy, things that feed your flesh, things that make you laugh, that bring you joy. Now, I'm not saying we don't ever do that. We do. We have good times. I'm talking about constantly seeking after pleasure, things that draw us away from God. Out of balance pleasure, things that continually keep you going. If it's not the Lord that's keeping you going, something else is keeping you going. What is it? You need to ask yourself. Is it? You know, maybe some people would like to go and gamble, or they like to watch certain movies, or they like to go shop, or they like to do a certain thing. It brings them pleasure. Some people drink. Some people do drugs. Whatever. What is there something in our lives that is continually bringing us pleasure that's keeping us away from God? What is taking up most of your conversation? Have you ever sat in a Christian's house and you've spent 2 hours there and maybe Jesus hasn't even come up once? It's about everything else. Pleasurable things. I was here, I was there. Sure, we did this. I went here. You know, constantly seeking after pleasure. Brings all those good things, endorphins, whatever, out. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit can release the better endorphins than anything, any pleasure can, or any substance can. What are you finding yourself meditating on? When you go to sleep, what are you thinking about? Is it the Word? Is it Jesus? Is it giving thanks? Is it praying? Or what is it? Is it something else? What are you becoming an expert on? That's a good one. What are you becoming an expert on? If it's this, great. If it's preaching the news, the good news, if it's knowing, you know, what the Word is saying, what happened in the old time, looking up history, studying this Word, going through commentaries, great. What are you becoming an expert on? When I talk to you, what is it that you know? You obviously know your work as well, and you know things good. You're an expert in your field, but are you becoming an expert in moving into the presence of God? Knowing the pathway and how to lead others along this pathway into the presence of God. What is consuming you? You see, there's an acquiring of a pleasant sensation instead of advancing our souls. We can be pursuing pleasant sensations instead of maturing our souls. Acts 2, verse 40 to 44 says, "With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.'" Who are you hanging out with? Who are your friends? Who are you talking to? Who are you giving ear to? Be careful it's not to this corrupt generation. It should be to the household of God, to the body of Christ, those who are leading you on the pathway into the presence of God. Verse 41 says, "Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added to their number that day." They devoted. We say, oh, we're the Acts church. We need to go back to the Acts church. Look how that happened. What happened? They heard the word. They separated themselves from that corrupt generation, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So I ask myself, and I challenge you, is that what you devoted to? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Guys, come, let's go. Yeah, I've got other things to do. Come, we're having prayer, and I've got other things to do. I'm hanging out with some friends. We're going to the bar. I don't know. You want to be devoted to the word? Hang out with those that are devoted to the word. 1 John 2, verse 15, "Do not love this world or anything in the world." This is from Jesus. This isn't me just making things to you. This is from Jesus, our Lord. And we are not greater than our Master. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh," I want me, I'll satisfy, I'll do what I want, I come first. "The lust of the eyes, I want it, I'll get it, I'll pursue it. The pride of life, look at me, position, what I have, power, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever." It is worth it, guys. When we pursue the Father, we will live forever. We will be in eternity. He's promised us eternal life. Those who pursue the world will be dying and passing away with the world. And last one, number 8, letting truth leak from your hearts. Letting the truth leak out of our hearts. We hear the truth. We move by it. We go and we hear this message and we know this is a good message. I want that. I'm going to pursue it. And we get home and maybe a week later, that truth has leaked out of our hearts because we haven't taken it. We haven't prayed about it. We haven't maybe repented about it. We haven't brought it before the Lord. And we haven't changed habits to make it our own. Because if we don't do that, the truth will leak out of our hearts and we'll drift back into the world. The problem is when we leave this place, the world is so intrusive on us. We got adverts, we got movies, we got this, we got ads popping up on our phone. This world is just shouting at us, come do this, do that, spend money, do your ways, have a good time, enjoy yourselves. This world is shouting at us, but the Holy Spirit quietly speaks in us. So we need to go home and shut this world out and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Because the Holy Spirit is not intrusive. This world is shouting. We need to learn to shut the world out and hear the Holy Spirit. It takes desire, determination, and discipline. We can desire it, but still not achieve it. We need to desire it, and then be determined about it. It's still not enough. We need to desire it, be determined, and then be disciplined to put it into action. And then it will start to bear fruit. So it does take action. And I'm going to close with this. The need for self-discipline. Okay, so what you've heard now, if you don't do something about it, if you don't put it into action, it will leak out of your hearts and you will drift. And so will I. I apply this to myself. I'm speaking just as loudly to myself. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Now, he's not talking about competing with each other. He's saying in your walk with God, run so that you get that prize. Make it worth it. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Are we in strict training? Or are we just sitting on the sidelines? We need to be in strict training on spiritual things. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. We'll see each other with those glorious crowns. It's a promise and a fact from our God. Therefore, Paul says, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, drifting away. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No. I strike a blow to my body, if necessary, and make it my slave, if I need to, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So he's saying, whatever it takes to discipline this body and to line it up with the ways of God, I will do it because I'm in strict training for the presence of God. Quickly, five disciplines that will help you on your way. I'm not going to expound on them. Maybe we can do it in another time. But five disciplines. Prayer. You need to be praying and praying constantly. Praying is entering into God's presence. Two, the Word. You need to be in this, eating this, studying it, learning it, reading commentaries, placing it into your heart, practicing it. Scripture is learning about God's presence. Three, fellowship. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be here. We need to be with friends. We need to be in life groups. We need to be fellowshipping. We're in strict training. Can't be sitting at home in the couch, but we want to achieve spiritual things, signs and wonders, miracles, healing the sick. We need to be in training. Fellowship is discussing God's presence. Four, accountability. Who is holding you accountable? I tell you, if no one's holding you accountable, you're going to drift. We need, as people, we need peers to hold us accountable. Guys, help me. Look what I'm doing. We meet together regularly. How am I doing here? What's happening? If we're not accountable, we will drift. We hold each other accountable. We draw to certain people that say, hold me accountable in this area. Accountability is being serious about God's presence. And the fifth one, ministry. We all need to get involved in ministry. Our own ministries, leading a life group, serving, helping, getting out there, getting at Timothy, preaching the gospel. We need to have a ministry. Ministry is practicing God's presence. Okay. So let's pray. And check your hearts in all these things. If anyone wants some prayer afterwards, I'm going to ask the elders that are here, the prayer warriors that are here, to come to the front, come and pray with someone. Maybe you want to speak to somebody about something. Maybe you want to pray about something. Do it. If you're serious about God, you're not going to let this leak out of your heart. I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I get home. Come and do it now. So I'm just going to pray and close. And then I'm going to ask the elders, the prayer warriors, intercessory groups, the deacons that are still on the deacons to come to the front. And does it want to be prayed? Does it want to talk? Come and pray. And then join us, please, for some coffee afterwards, for some fellowship. We're in training. We don't run home. We're in training. We're doing this together. We need each other. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your amazing words. Lord, I thank you that you are serious. I thank you that, Lord, you're showing us the pathway into your presence. Father, I pray that you'll reveal to us if we've got any baggage or hindrances which we are holding on to, which is stopping us from coming into your presence, to get through those tight little holes, to get through those small doors, to walk over these things that you sometimes take us through in life, these life experiences that the Holy Spirit takes us through. Lord, may we be able to let go of the things that are hindering us, the things that we know that are for us, that are speaking to our own lusts, our own pride, our own flesh, the things that we want and not that you want. May this message speak to us and may it change us. May we go into training and may we be serious for you, Lord. May we follow after you, that when we see you, you'll say, good and faithful servant, that we will receive this everlasting crown, that we will move into eternity, that we'll know that you are calling us, that we will be changed and we will have purpose, and we'll know that you are a serious God and you've given us promises that are for us. So, Father, I just pray today as you just stir our hearts and move us as we come forward, as we pray, that nothing will be stolen from us, that we'll start producing 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, that we will all bear fruit, fruit that remains and lasts with us forever and ever. Lord, stir us up, move us. Holy Spirit, protect us. May nothing be stolen from us. May we go and be changed and be serious. May we go into strict training. And, Father God, may we do your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you want prayer, please, if I can just ask the elders, the prayer warriors, intercessors, come to the front. If you need prayer, if you want to speak to somebody, please come forward. Otherwise, join us for coffee.